Edo, welcome to another episode of No Chof Des. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined once again by Roy. Hello there.
Hi, Stel. How are you, man?
What can I tell you, Philip? What can I say? I'm all right. Normal life, I'm all right. Football life, I'm a little bit disappointed. I feel like, when it's your kid's birthday and you're blowing up a balloon and then you let go of it before tying it and it just goes... That is me right now. I feel so deflated, man.
I thought that it was just bursting your face.
No. I don't blow it too hard, no. But, we're obviously going to talk about the 1-1 draw against Olympiacos.
Yeah.
Shall we get straight into it? I don't know. Tell me how you are feeling, Roda Bola. Sorry, pardon my manners.
You know what, man? Obviously, I can't be too happy. But, there's two schools of thought. There's obviously the one that says, we should have done better. We should have won the points like we always say when it comes to games like this. But generally, you can't be a monia and be happy unless you get the 3 points. And then there's Jordi's way of seeing it, because when he was interviewed after the game, he was like, you know what? We got 1 point. We're not the best when we win, and we're not the worst when we don't win. Things like that happen in football. We have to concentrate. We have to see what we did wrong and try and get the 3 points on the next game, because you can't really change what happened. What you can do is, try better for the next game. So that's like a positive way of putting it, even though, when you isolate the game, and that's what we're doing basically. When we're reviewing a game, we're basically talking about the specific game and reviewing a game. So, when you do that and you just talk about the game, obviously your criticism is a lot stricter depending on the opponent. If you see the bigger picture, then you might sound a bit ungrateful. That's not the case. I'm not ungrateful, but obviously, we need to talk about what happened today, and I'm going to give my opinion. You're going to give yours, and, We'll see how it goes,
because I think you and I, we might have similar opinions, but I get the feeling that we might have a lot of dissimilar opinions in terms of the way that the match went. But first of all, let's talk about the team lineup, because I didn't see many surprises in the team. We kind of knew the back four was going to be that back four with Shehu, Hubachan, Lufner and Lejax. Midfield was Vitor Gomez and Jordi Gomez. I was surprised that Vitor Gomez started, in all fairness. I didn't think he was going to get another game, a consecutive game.
Yeah.
The three behind Shepovic was Asante,
Loizo and Babuli.
And I think Loizo deserved to start that game, given how he operated when he came against Paralimni, how he changed.
Yeah, and even Berg had mentioned that, he was going to start Loizo with Paralimni, but instead he gave Thiago the opportunity, and obviously he did really well last game, so he deserved it. I was also surprised that Vito got another game, mostly because Kusulo has been so impactful this year, and he got his rest last week, so I thought that his fitness level was going to be enough for him to play today. Obviously, I don't know if there's something else, like a minor injury or something that, Berg thought. But yeah, other than that, the only other position that I would have thought that might have been a bit different is Lang instead of Hubachan. But,
I thought Lang may have picked up a knock in training. So when I saw Hubachan in the lineup, I was thinking, is he resting him? Because normally Lang would have played in a game like this. He would have played in a game against Olympiacos, wouldn't he? I mean, I know that in the first game it was Gusulas and Lufna against Olympiacos away at the beginning of the season. I think Lang was suspended because he got sent off against Ethnie Goz, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I figured, well, okay, if Hubachan's playing, it can't be a tactical thing, surely. Lang may have picked up an injury. Sorry, continue.
No. I mean, just talking about the starting 11, and, because you said it was no surprise. Obviously, okay, At this level, you know, it's good to have a squad of like 16, 17, 8 players you can rotate. So in that sense, it wasn't a surprise. You know, it's not as if, you know, you'd be like, oh, I'm shocked that this player started the game. So yeah, it was a good starting lineup, enough for a game at this level to, you know, win the game. And if we want to slowly get into the game, so the way I saw it, the beginning of the game today, we approached it with the right way. In my eyes, we were direct, we were determined. We had an attacking mentality. We were assertive, passing the ball around well. We had possession. We tried to get an early goal, which would have helped us. Olympiacos, we kept them far. They only threatened a couple of times with shots outside the box, which were easy for Fabiano. And for me, in honesty, I thought that that was how the game was going to be till the end. And it was just a matter of time for us to score. But after like the 25th minute, when they missed the chance, when Fabiano made a save, it seemed like it gave them a confidence boost and it made them believe that maybe they can get something out of the game.
Well, they grew into the game, didn't they?
Grew into it. Saying that, I thought that we missed the 50-50 battles in midfield. We lost the midfield, basically. And then the wingers were really very fast, and we seemed to be struggling with the wingers. That car guy, not only the goal he scored, but like we were struggling, and Huber-Chan and Lufner, you know, couldn't reach him. He was so fast. And so in that sense, Vitor, for me today, not only today, I'm sad to say that, but I don't know if you agree. Vitor this year is the weakest link in my eyes today, but generally he's got an off season. He hasn't had the energy levels, the confidence, the concentration. He's lacking these things, you know. Jordi as well, at best, I mean, he had a mediocre game. He wasn't as good as we're used to him being, and as effective, like even in the build-up of the game. And
do you think that that's more down to Olympiacos, the way that they set up? Because first half an hour, I'd say first half hour, 40 minutes, they lined up with three central defenders, but with also three central midfielders tucking in.
Yeah.
And that kind of stops Jordi Gomez from playing his game. And I think they did their homework very well, because if you stop Jordi from playing in the middle of the park, then effectively you're stopping us creating from that area. He's almost like a quarterback. You know, the American footballers, they call him the quarterback. Yeah. You know, takes the ball, takes it about five steps backwards and then launches the ball.
Yeah.
Jordi Gomez can dictate the tempo in the middle of the park. So when you've got a physical team like Olympiacos, they're obviously going to double team him. They're going to be physical. They're going to kick him off the ball when he's played a pass and try and stop him from playing, the tactical fouls and all that. And I'm not saying that, you know, he had a great game or...
Yeah.
Before people start saying, oh, you're sticking up for him. I'm not. I'm just saying that, you know, when you eliminate that threat from any team, if you eliminate Dingini from Apollon, what have you got? Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? So this is what I'm saying. If you nullify the main threat, then obviously you're going to have to stand a better chance of winning the game or getting something out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And this is actually something we, we faced last year as well. With teams that were physical and they played a lot of men in defense, and you know they were tucking in and they were playing with strong bodies, and Olympiacos has got some physical players, a lot of African players and big bodies, and we lost the battle of the midfield. But yet again, I mean, the dependency we have on Jordi Gomez sometimes is a liability to us. And saying that, you know, we had other players, quality players, that could have been a bit more effective today, but we didn't. But that's how I saw, at least, these were the reasons in my mind why we struggled after the 25th minute, because then they scored the goal, and exactly after the goal, which, if you ask me, the goal was very poor defending, because it was basically an assist from the keeper. He took the free kick And then Lejac didn't do well. Like, he should have headed the ball away because Kai is like a small guy. You see this, the size, the difference in size. And you would expect, you know, from Lejac to head away from danger. And then, okay, it might have hit his arm, his shoulder. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I thought that, you know, it was a very nice goal. But there's three defenders around him. You know, there's Lejac, there's Luftner and Hubachan, and he just boots the ball. Great finish, but bad defending, uncharacteristic of Omonia this year and last year, if you ask me. They went ahead, they missed the chance, and then we equalized the 40th minute. And just when you thought that, you know, you're going into the second half with all the right conditions to, you know, grind the win and be more passionate and assertive and, you know, tactically more concentrated and whatever, it just, you know, we seemed lethargic and we seemed trapped into the game Olympiacos wanted, and they had more spirit. And at the end of the day, I thought it was a fair result. And you have to congratulate Olympiacos because they played well, man.
I agree. And to be fair, like I said in my Instagram video, I think we got lucky today. Yeah. I think we've got, and the reason why I say this is because, okay, let's go back to the first goal, which you quite rightly said was a defensive mistake from all parties. The first thing I would have said about Lesiak's header, and look, I'm not a professional footballer, so I'm in no position to tell Lesiak what he should or shouldn't have done. But more often than not, you see a defender saying, right, if I head it to my left where he was, that's going out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
You never play what they call the hospital pass, which is through the middle. Yeah. Because when you do that, you're effectively leaving your central defenders open for an attack. Yeah. And what he did, I saw what he was trying to do. He was trying to head it to Luftner. But there wasn't enough, the ball, there wasn't enough power for him to head the ball. And even if he glanced it, it wouldn't have gone far enough. There wasn't any weight on the ball for him to head it further enough. So he had to really got ahead on it.
Yeah, he didn't seem determined when he went there. It was like,
I don't think he was confident he was going to win. I don't think he was confident he was going to win the ball there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He didn't feel confident. He didn't feel like determined. He wasn't like, you know, I'm clearing this full stop. He probably thought, okay, there's three other players behind. Even if I don't, you know, then
I think he was directing it to Luftner. I think that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to win the ball back, but also direct it to Luftner. But look, I love Michael and Thomas Hubachan. I think they're brilliant, but I think both of them will say that they should have done a lot better. They were both backing off him. And look, I can see why they were doing that, because they're probably thinking, there's three of us, you're 30, 40 yards out, shoot if you're good enough. And we've got a great goalkeeper, so shoot, go on then, if you're brave, shoot. I think the reason why they were backing off is because all it would have taken was for him to knock the ball past them, and his pace, he would have beaten them. Yeah. And that way, they probably would have sandwiched him because he did a free kick. There might have been a red card, because you know what these referees are like. You just don't know. So I don't blame them for backing off. But at the same time, I do, because I'm thinking the ball was there to be won. There was three of you around him, you know. And even when they scored the first goal, they had an opportunity to make it two. And that's when we were on the ropes. You know, they smelt blood and they came for him. If it wasn't for Fabiano blocking the shot, that'd have been 2-0. Then we'd have more probably than that. But to be honest, we had our chances before the goal, before they scored.
Yeah.
It's when Ernest broke through.
Yeah, it was... I've got everything written down, the stats, you know, with the second... You know, I've got everything written
down. So tell me what you think, what the first clear-cut chance for us was. The watching the game, I was thinking, realistically, the first clear-cut chance was when Ernest broke through and he squared it to Shepovich. Now, that was the second minute, So 9 times out of 10, I'm thinking, you're in that position, you're about 2 yards inside the box. The goalkeeper hasn't narrowed the angle. They always say, put it across the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if this was Ernest Asante of maybe the beginning of January, middle of January, he'd have probably shot that. But I think because he hasn't been playing much, because he's been on the bench, because for whatever reason, maybe he's lost that little bit of confidence. And he saw Shepherd there and he thought, I'm going to pass it to him because maybe he's in a better position. But the pass wasn't heavy enough for Shepherd.
Yeah.
And again, I just think it was a lack of confidence, really. Because like I said, a month ago, we are in the end of January. What am I talking about? maybe 2 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, he'd have put that in the bottom corner across the goalkeeper. So I don't know. What did you make of that? I keep thinking that we're in February, man.
And Daxi, another.
We're nearly there. A couple more days.
Yeah. So basically, that second minute chance was a beautiful through pass from Loizo to Asante. And Asante, I thought he was like unselfish to pass the ball, or like you said, maybe not confident enough. I thought he should have finished that chance. And I think that surprised Chepa as well, because maybe Chepa thought that, you know, Ernest was going to try and finish it off. And when he got the pass, it wasn't a great pass. And Chepa couldn't see the defender behind him as well, because I thought that maybe, you know, he's thinking, okay, I got the pass, I'm just going to tap it in. And then the defender came like,
I think it was a little bit behind him as well, right? If you watch it, I think the pass might have been a little bit behind Chepa. But
yeah, it was a little bit behind. But like the defender also, Chepa, I don't think Chepa saw the defender coming up from behind him. So it should have been 1-0 there, man. For me, it should have been 1-0. Like, we can find excuses, but, you know, it should have been 1-0.
But this is what I've been saying for a long time this season, really. Like, since the beginning of the season, we haven't been clinical enough in front of goal. You know, we create opportunities. I don't think, apart from maybe Baralimni at home this season, I can't think of any game where I've turned around and said, we didn't really create anything. Can you think of any games? Like maybe Doxa, even Doxa. Okay,
so yeah, with Doxa, with Baralimni, with Achna away, we were winning. Okay, that game, you know, it was, we were 2-0 up, then they got penalty, Lang got
sent. We made it difficult for ourselves, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the games
that we didn't create chances. Again, like with Apollo, not so much, with Ael, not so much. Okay, different level of and different style of play, obviously.
Yeah, I think the circumstances were different with those games, because we didn't have to win those games, just avoid defeat. So I think that I can kind of understand why, you know, because people were saying, oh, we didn't create many opportunities against ILOA and Apollo. I'm like, well, those are the games where you want to earn a point, because that's a big point. So I'm not too...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I agree. And that's why I said specifically different game, different needs, you know, different approach to the game. So, okay, but yeah, there have been games that, you know... We didn't create as many chances as we either should have or could have, or we weren't clinical enough to finish the game. But and that's what I said, games against Anorthosis, Apoel, AEK, when we scored three goals, that might have been a bit, you know, misleading or deceiving, because we were just clinical and the ratio of chances that we turned into goals was like amazing, was like over 50%. So we missed that chance the second minute. 6 minute, again, we had a chance, but we played the ball around too much. It seemed like no one wanted to take the shot, passing the ball around, and we missed the chance there. And, then when was it? Olympiago had a couple of shots from outside the box. Fabiano saved them. Babuliz on the 17th minute, where he hit the post, but it was offside.
Yeah,
that was a nice build up. Obviously, if it wasn't offside, I would have been gutted, because it was horrible the way he missed that chance.
I'm sure we've seen worse though, but still, he should be putting that away.
And then, you know, Babu Liz again, a couple of shots. Chepai swirled in a shot. That went like licked the post as well. So, but all in all, you know, the Olympiago scored the goal. They missed the clear cut chances, in the sense that, okay, we had some chances as well, but we were lucky that Olympiago could have been 2-0 up. Maybe we could have scored a goal as well. But like I said, at the end of the day, we equalized at the 40th minute.
It was a good finish.
Yeah, very good finish. Again, Loizo. Nice run, and the difficult finish from Babuliz. It was really difficult because of the angle.
It hit his shin, didn't it?
Yeah.
It hit his shin. I don't think he hit his boot, hit his shin.
I didn't notice that.
I think so. I think it hit his shin.
Okay. Because
when the goalkeeper saved it, it bounced, and I'm sure he shinned it. I'm I'm not 100% sure, but I'm about 50% sure.
Okay, because I watched the game, and then when I was like preparing my notes, I watched the highlights again as well, and I didn't pay attention to that. Maybe
I'm gonna watch it again.
No, but it was a really difficult.
Watch it again. But you know, there was a chance that he missed where he came to him nearly on the edge of the box.
Yeah, the penalty. Yeah.
Yeah, and when the ball came towards him, I thought maybe he can swivel and hit it first time. But the way, again, it looked like it was a little bit behind him. So he had to adjust his body shape, control it. And by the time he had the opportunity to hit it, he kind of put his boot underneath the ball. I'm thinking, keep it down. Because I'll tell you this now, if he kept it low, the other two things would have happened. It would have deflected away for a corner or just away, or it would have deflected and gone in. You need to test the goalkeeper from there. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how many bodies are in front of the ball. You need to test the goalkeeper. And I think that's another issue that I had with today, because second half, the performance was like, as you said, lethargic. It was laboured. Yeah. And they were counter-attacking us a lot of the time. There were some occasions where we had two men back and we knew that they were going to catch us out. And we were lucky that Hubachan didn't concede that penalty.
Yeah.
It would have been unfair to have given that, to be fair, because he didn't touch it, did he? Really? He fell on it.
Yeah, he fell on it, yeah. Okay, there might have been contact on his hand, but, like, he wasn't deliberate, you know. It just, you know, he fell and, you know... Okay, I don't think, you know... I think the referee today had made right decisions. It was, all in all, some good decisions from the referee. Didn't really affect the game, I think. But yeah, I mean, the stats of the first half, you see, like, we had seven chances, three shots on goal. Olympiacos had eight and seven shots on goal. Fabiano had six saves, whereas their keeper had two. We had seven corner kicks, they had one. We had possession 53-47. And, you know, with these stats, you know, it was fair to say that the 1-1 result was fair, basically. Yeah, fair. And the game ended with like nine chances, three on target. So basically, second half, all of the second half, we just had two chances more with Chepo and Thiago. I think towards the end, it was stoppage time, and then I think 86th minute with Chepa and 91st with Thiago, stoppage time. Other than that,
Shepherd's chance where he came to him in the 81st minute or something like that.
86th.
Again, another chance where I'm thinking, put it across the goalkeeper. Why are you trying to put it at the near post?
Yeah.
And I think, okay, I'm not going to get into him too much because he's only been at the club for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I can't expect him to...
he did it twice though. First half, he did it twice. To shoot the ball to the other corner, but this time he tried to,
But the thing is, for me, and I think the disappointing thing for me, forget the fact that we didn't win. That's not the disappointing thing. When I look at Olympiacos, a team that has conceded 34 goals this season, Ethnikos are the only team that conceded 34 goals this season.
Okay.
Them, and Olympiacos, and Ethnikos are bottom. So that goes to show that although Olympiacos defended very well today, I didn't see... I'm looking at the table, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? They defended well. What's been happening to them for the whole season? I mean, they're sat ninth at the moment. I think scoring is obviously their problem because they've only scored 19 goals.
Okay.
So when I look at them, I think they've conceded 34 goals this season. Why are we not scoring? I mean, we've only scored once against them this season. There's got to be a little bit of a concern, though. Or does that tell you that Olympiacos only raised their game when Omonia come to town? That they're cheating their manager?
I don't think so, man. I mean, both the games at home and away, I think Olympiacos deserve... I mean, okay, the first game away, we spoke about this the other day as well. You know what? When you say that any team could have won... when the game ends in a draw is the most fair result. And I think both games, any team could have won. And it so happened that, you know, the first game they won the game. It wasn't unfair. It wasn't unfair. And today, through the game, it wasn't unfair. In all honesty, I was telling a friend of mine last week that before we played Paralimni away, I was more confident that we were going to win the game against Paralimni, and I was worried about the game today. I don't know why. Maybe it was something I felt, you know, that was going to happen. Maybe because, you know, the bad...
Because we were 10 games unbeaten. You think it's going to come to an end eventually? I don't blame you.
Yeah, and I thought, we have to be extra careful. Maybe we... what's it called?
We think we were complacent?
Yeah. And the game today... And another thing is, you know, when I was looking at the team the first half, I thought, okay, you know, maybe if we put on Kusulo for Vitor, and maybe if we put Jonis for Asante, or, you know, and we did that in the, was it the 60 something?
He made minute. A bit of an early-ish change, wasn't it? It wasn't like on half time.
Yeah, but no one brought anything to the game. No one. No skill, nothing. You know, I thought that, you know, okay, Guslo's machine, he's going to come in, he's going to, you know, bring in some energy, some passion, some determination. He was going to, you know, shouting, come on, guys, let's do this. Jonis as well, Thiago, none of them did anything. I mean, I think Babu Liz, again, was our best player, but after the 60th minute, he got so tired. Tired, and Loizo was really good as well. Loizo was really good as well. I mean, if you see all the chances, even the goal we created, the pass at the second minute, the goal Babu Lee scored, it was Loizo's, and he seemed like a constant danger to Olympiacos. But then the second half was, you know, just very poor performance. And this is not something that I just say. You know, even Berg said that. You know, we weren't good enough. We didn't play. The top level, we didn't play as good as we can do, you know. And but okay, at the end of the day, it's 1 point. We're lucky that AEL didn't win their game as well. They drew 2-2. So, and there's the game tomorrow between Apollon and Abuel. So, you know, maybe at the end of the day, if you want to see the silver line, we've got 1 point. And, you know, okay.
Well, Roy, put it this way. Imagine what a loss today would have done. I'm trying to find the positives now. Imagine what a loss today would have done to the team's confidence, because Olympiacos haven't won a game since the 27th of November. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. I mean, they beat Garmi Odisa. They lost to AEK. In fact, let me count the games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, today was a 10th game without a win. So, all right. While you look at the statistics, while you look at the facts, or when they're being top of the second in the league at the time, you're thinking, yeah, we're going to win this game, looking at the amount of goals they conceded, but this is football. And the way I see it, again, you can see it one way to say, oh, well, it's another game that we struggle to break a team down that's in the bottom half of the table. I get it. I get that argument, because we should be beating these teams. But on the flip side, as you said, it's a point. It continues the unbeaten stretch, which is now 11 games. Mm-hmm. We go into our next game against who we've got.
Doxa. Away. Difficult game. Very difficult.
Difficult game. Because they're in the top six now, you know, but they've got Buffalo breathing down their neck. So let's see what they're about. And I don't think they're going to play to defend. They're going to want to get something out of the game. And today, the way that we played, they're probably thinking, yeah, they might be able to get something given our performance.
Yeah, because it gives a confidence. Olympiacos' point today gives confidence to the other teams. And,
of course. But then you confidence that I did it. Well, look, look, put this way.
Maybe it was the pressure. Maybe it's the pressure, because it works as well. Because AEL knew if they had won the goal like 4 points ahead, or actually not 4 points, but they had a game in hand. But the pressure sometimes, like you said with Andre yesterday, you know, the pressure and the weight of the t-shirt when you're competing for trophies is a lot different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But look, as I said, it's a point. We're still unbeaten. The point takes us to the top of the table.
Yeah.
Okay. And, momentarily, but you just never know what's around the corner. I'm not hoping that Abuel win, because I'll never cheer for them to win. I'll never want them to win unless it means us winning the title. But the way that they're playing at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if they get something out of that game against Arbolon. Didn't they beat them in the cup the other day as well?
Yeah, they beat them 2-1 in the cup. Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. So there's that shot in the arm for them. If they get a point, I'll be all right because they'll go on top, won't they? Won't Arbolon go top? What's the table like? We're not a point.
Yeah, same points as Arbolon, I think.
Yeah, level points.
41, 41, and they got a game in hand, right?
Yeah, for 44. We're on 44. And they're on 44, yeah.
44, so yeah. 44
so they,
as well.
Yeah, they're on 44 as well. But we're top head-to-head, isn't it? So,
yeah.
And Ducks, well, look, like I said, I'm deflated. I'm disappointed. But sometimes, as you already said, these things happen in football. And we played against a team today who obviously have a point to prove. It's on Monier as well, so this is effectively their biggest game of the season. This isn't me being arrogant. It's a fact. It's their biggest game of the season. It's a derby game. And I'm sure they probably thought, well, they beat them in the first game. We beat them in the first game. We can do it again. Actually, these things happen. You know, I don't have any major concerns in terms of personnel, in terms of a system. The one thing I will say, Roy, and you know, please tell me if you agree with this.
Yeah.
When it came to the last 15, 20 minutes, I was hoping he'd bring on Duris. And I know people say, oh, I don't know, Duris ballet. But when you have a second striker, it makes so much of a difference.
Yeah.
Because it gives you that extra edge. And I think Shepovic was quite isolated, especially in the second half today. Mm-hmm. So do you think bringing on a second striker would have made a difference? Any bit of a difference?
Listen, okay. As I mentioned earlier, I thought that when Guzulo came on and Johnny came on and Thiago came on, that things were going to change. And these three players didn't manage to change, you know, the thirst we had to win the game. They didn't bring any more energy level in the game. They didn't bring anything different. So I don't know if, and in fairness, I thought they would, but they didn't. I'm talking about what happened. So I don't know if I would have, you know, tried to look at the bench and maybe put on Thiago, Eric maybe, because Eric was on the bench as well. Obviously, okay, if we put on Duris, that meant we would have changed formation as well, played with a different formation, put two men up. We could have been a little bit more dangerous, but the problem wasn't the striker was isolated. The problem was the ball didn't get to the strikers. So it was more that we lost the midfield battle and we couldn't take the ball to the attacker. And once again, I think we had 11 corners today. Again, didn't take advantage of a single one. So maybe Duris could have helped with his physical game, could have pushed around a little bit, made some space for Čepović. So the other way around, maybe Čepović, you know, would have made some space. But the thing is, we didn't have any chances. We just had like two chances in 48 minutes, the second half, and they weren't like clear-cut chances. So I don't know. The answer is I don't know how much Duris would have helped. Because if by putting on Jonis and Thiago, we became more, you know, assertive and started making chances. And you thought, you know, Čepa is isolated and maybe he needs some help. Maybe then I would have put on Duris. But the problem was the ball couldn't get to Čepa. It was job of the midfielders. So that's my opinion. I don't know.
I think, to be honest, right, I think because we're so used to this team playing a certain style of football, because don't get me wrong, they can play football. You know, they're not just a physical team. They can pass the ball well, short passes, pass and move. And I think, okay, today was lacking a little bit in terms of that that edge. You know, the final ball in the final third wasn't right. It just wasn't happening. But I think sometimes in games like this, when we're playing against a team who, as you quite rightly said, Olympiacos are very physical. They're a very tall team. I think sometimes you need to say, right, we're going to play a certain style up until a certain point. But if we're looking to get another goal, let's just go back to the 1970s and just pump the ball forward. Honestly, you've got to do that sometimes, you know, and while it can be predictable and while it can be quite frustrating to watch balls being pumped over the top, but look, last 10 minutes, if you've got two strikers up there, they can cause havoc. If they're good in the air, which they are, if they're physical, which they are, the goalkeeper was having a bit of a nightmare today because he conceded that goal, the equaliser, and he was practically at fault for that one because he palmed it straight to Foddy. So his confidence wasn't great. So I think we could have put them under the cosh a little bit, but this is just me with my, you know, old style hat on. Do you get what I'm saying? This
English.
Old English, yeah, get it up there. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes it's worth doing it if you're chasing the game. But at the same time, were we really desperate to win the game? This is what I'm saying. Like, I think, were we too cautious in the last 10, 15 minutes to say, well, we're going to settle for the draw now? I don't know.
Even if we did do that, I don't agree with it, you know, because it was against, like when we were talking about the game against Tael and Apollon away, we said, yeah, okay, it seemed like, you know, they would have settled for the draw, 1 point each, you know, we're both happy. But why would I say that against Olympiacos? I mean, we had 1 week to rest. And for me, there's no excuse. Or even if someone gives me that as an excuse, I'm not going to take it, man. I'm going to be like, no, man, seriously? Okay, tell me something different. Tell me something. Tell me, I was tired. I was, wasn't my day. Didn't work out the way I planned it. Olympiacos had more of a spirit, more of a quench, more of a thirst to get something out of the game. Because even if we nicked the game today, we didn't deserve it. I don't think we did enough. So the 1 point was fair, I think. But like Jordi said at the end of the game, is, you know, we have to concentrate on the next game and try and correct what we did wrong and get the 3 points with Doxa. Because I don't think there's a lot more to say about the game today. I don't know if you want to add something about today's game, because I wanted to ask you, in 3 days, the transfer window closes. And every time they ask Henning Berg, he's like, you know, he answers like diplomatically, you know, all the clubs were looking at players, but, you know, it's the budget and I'm very satisfied with the squad. And, you know, if we don't find something better and we're not too desperate to sign a player. Do you think, if you were Henning Berg, would you have brought a player or players, and where, which position?
It's difficult to say. And the reason why I say this is because if you bring in a player in January, because effectively the season ends in a few more weeks and then you've got the playoffs, right? So
yeah, five more games, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, about that.
It's Perimene, Humendora, the Terrorists, Salamina, and Abuel? So maybe it's four games. What was it today? Today was which game? It was 20.
Another hang about. I'll go right from it. Today was game 22.
So 14 ομάδες, 13 επί 2, 26. So four more games. Doxa, Salamina,
Hermes,
and Abuel. So four games to the end of the regular season. Playoffs.
And in the playoffs. So if we're going to bring in a player in January, first of all, I don't want us to sign just someone for the sake of signing them. They need to be the right player. That's the most important thing. Secondly, if we bring in this player, whoever it may be, they've got effectively four games to get used to everything, get used to the way the team plays, get used to his teammates, the sistema, everything, to get ready for the playoffs. Now, if we sign a player now and he's not ready from a mental standpoint, because don't forget, they're moving home. If they're from a different country, they're going to come to Cyprus, they're going to look for a house, what about their family? All of these things take time. It's a process, right? Yeah. So player comes in, they don't hit the ground running straight away. You know what the fans are like? He's shit. We don't want him. Yeah. So would that be right? Now, on the flip side, if the player is quality and doesn't come with that kind of baggage, I'm not saying that family is a baggage, but if it doesn't come with all those responsibilities,
yeah,
I don't see why not. Then the third point is, as you quite rightly said, you've got budget. You've got, who can we bring in? Because let's face it, if you're a team that's vying for the title and you want to bring in, let's just say a player from that's a free transfer.
Yeah.
The agent or the player is going to say, well, you want this player now, so we want an extra 2,000 euros a week.
Yeah.
We want an extra 1,000 euro a week, and we want this and we want that. So you're effectively putting the strength, the power into the player's hand who hasn't even joined you yet.
Yeah.
And the agent saying, well, you're desperate for him clearly because you want to sign someone now. The one thing I will say, there's something that Gary Neville said, which is quite interesting a while back. When a team signs a player on the final day of the transfer window, it shows you that they're desperate. And I can see where he's coming from, because you've got the whole of you've got from the summer to winter, when that window opens, you've got all that time to scout a player, to look for the right player. And then you save and you wait until the last day to sign someone. Doesn't make sense to me. So if we do sign someone now, unless a player leaves, like, I don't know, Thiago or someone else leaves, then we're going to need to bring someone else in. But who do you think is out there, Roy, who we can bring in? Because this is what I want to ask you. Because I hear a lot of Omonia fans, and some of them message me today saying, we need that creative midfielder that can come in when Jordi isn't playing. I'm like, okay, fine. I agree. Because when Jordi isn't firing on all cylinders, we need someone there that can give him a rest or whatever. But who is out there? Who? People are telling me we need to. This is what we need to change, but who's going to change it with?
In all honesty, it's not my job, man. It's not my job, but there's thousands of players out there. Okay, I'm not going to say hundreds of players. Okay, you're going to tell me it's the budget, it's this, that, and the other, but you didn't answer my question. Is in what position?
What position? Sorry.
Do you think? What you said is true, and I understand. And these are reasons to make you reluctant or like a bit, hesitant not to sign a player in January. And I do agree. I'm talking about, the squad, because I'm going to tell you something. Okay, the closer we get into the end of the season, the games are going to start becoming a bit more physical, mm-hmm. It's going to depend a lot on passion rather than tactic. Is how much you're going to want it. It's going to be, who's going to fight for the 50-50s. You're going to get booked. The fatigue levels are going high. Yeah. You need to stick to a certain team of players who are a bit more experienced. So at the beginning of the season, Omonia, in quantity and quality, we used around 6 or 7 players that at this point don't seem that they're going to have a chance to play in the remaining games. And I'm talking about, okay, Kyriakidis is the keeper, he got injured. Okay, so he's not going to play till the end of the season. You had him at the beginning of the season. Then Panayiotou, the defender who played like 3 or 4 games, is promising talent. I don't think I'm going to be surprised if he gets any more minutes. Hambos as well. Venizelos as well. Mavrias, which is pain in my heart that I say that, but it seems to me that he's a luxury in our squad. He's not even third or fourth choice right back.
But why though? No one's answered that question. No one knows why.
Yeah, Seu's got the right back position on lock. Then it's Huber-chan. After Huber-chan, is it Mavria or is it Kusulu again on right back? And we've got that player who's not going to help us. We don't know why. No one really knows if it's tactical, it's financial, if it's, disciplinary, whatever. We don't know the reasons. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I can't depend on Mavrias, and he's, and I said I pay him and he's there and I can't really depend on him. And there's this Kalisene as well. So I just mentioned 6 players that I can't depend on for the rest of the season.
Well, Kalisene is gone anyway, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about at the beginning of the season, yeah. I had the option. But now, for what reason, I don't have these players and I haven't replaced Kalisene. Okay, so we brought it because we had the... So what I'm saying is do you think we have the quality and the quantity and we don't need anything else? Or, you know, if a few weeks from now, we're going to be like, ah, you know what? We should have tried and signed that one player, this one position. Because a lot of people say we need a winger on the right, on the left wing, right footed left winger. But I think on the wing, we've got a lot of players. We've got Papu Liz, we've got Botiag, we've got Thiago, we've got Johnny, we've got Kaguli who can play that position. We've got Asante who can play. So, but a box to box number eight, or like a bit of a creative midfielder, like the people say, obviously, I don't know. I'm not a scout. I watch the Greek league. I can't tell you, for example, there's a player in the second division of Germany at the moment who's like perfect for us. I don't know, but I'm just saying, would you try to bring
put this, if you know, I agree with you. And I think it goes back to what I said, I think one of my Instagram videos a few weeks ago, that on the subject of Mavrias, that, you know, he offers so much down that right-hand side. Okay, his defensive discipline isn't great, don't get me wrong, but from an attacking perspective, given the style of play that we have, he's perfect. The perfect, him and Leshiak, they complement each other on either flank. It's practically the same player, isn't it? Because their delivery is just as good as each other, right?
And I agree totally, but this has affected Eric as well this season.
Of course.
You know, them playing together, they were amazing last year. And this has affected Eric as well, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that goes to show that Shehu isn't a right back. He isn't, and I've been saying this for God knows how long. He's a central midfielder. He's not a right back. You watch him, okay? His defending isn't great. You know, his overlaps aren't great. His delivery out wide isn't great. He's a good player for a central midfield position. I think he's fantastic. I think him and Yordi Gomez will be fantastic together in the middle of the park. I think so anyway. But so with Gusolo and Yordi, but this is what I'm saying. If Yordi's out, where's that creativity? So yes, I'm with the majority. We do need someone creative that can come in and play that number eight role that can play a 5-yard ball square, but also has the nous to drop the shoulder and beat a man, and just little things here and there. It's the attention to detail. And yes, at right back, we need someone. And those are the two positions that at this moment in time, I think that we're probably lacking. Because let's be honest, Rhea, when Lesiaks goes forward on that left-hand side, right, we're a threat. Right? Yeah. Who goes forward on the right-hand side? Who does?
No one, but that's why I'm banging my head and trying to understand why Haris Mavrias is not getting any chances this year.
Mm.
It's obviously a choice of Hedinberg or I don't know who else. I can't like find a logical explanation in my mind that, you know, okay, Seoul's been very good, and Hubert Chen as well, but they don't have that, you know, flair, that creativity. They're
not natural fullbacks, Filemur. They're not natural
fullbacks. Mavrias reminds me of like he's a fullback, you know, a modern fullback, like old school right backs.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what you said about Seoul not being a right back. I also thought that when we signed him for defensive midfield position. Because I thought, you know, we've got Mavrias there and you know, Gusulos can play there and Hubert-Chan can play there. And then we see him playing right back. And that sort of made it final in my mind that, you know, Mavrias is not going to get any more football with us this year. And you know, it saddens me a lot because I think last year he was great and he is at an age where he could have been our right back for the years to come. He resurrected his career there. He got called in the national team of Greece as well. So, it's a shame to not see. I don't know if I would have signed the right back. I don't know. But, yeah, definitely a box-to-box, a number eight.
It's difficult because when you look at, say, for example, the free agents that are out there, because I don't think we're going to spend any money on players to bring in like a transfer fee, because Shepovic came for nothing, didn't he? In fact, most of our signings this season have been free transfers, haven't they? Most of them.
Yeah, I mean, we paid a little bit for Kiko, I think. And then Asante was free.
Yep.
And ποιο άλλο, ρε. Yeah, I don't think
Dries came for nothing.
Dries came, yeah, for nothing. Yeah, he came for nothing. So yeah, but yeah,
I'm just trying to think that most
we didn't make use. Obviously, okay, the money we got from the Europa League, I don't know, they're going to use it to close, you know, the gaps that they had from previous years. Obviously, they already paid a lump sum for RCB, paying all players, this, that, and the other. And you want to keep the balance in the dressing room as well. You don't want, you know, start splashing out money left, right, and center, and then, you know, you get some players disappointed, and, you know, you want to keep a balance. But for fuck's sake, man, one player, since last summer, you need one player, man. Go fucking find him.
Well, look, would you take Ortega back? Would you have him back?
No.
No? He's still available for a free, but then again, he hasn't played football for a long time.
No, I wouldn't. I want a number 8. No, no, man.
Just thinking about it.
What else can you offer me, man? Tell me.
No, I don't know. Sami Nasri.
Okay.
But he hasn't played football for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. It's difficult. So this is what I'm saying. Like when we signed Šepović, that came left field. Like, and actually, the rumour was about 3 days prior to him joining and people were talking about it, but everything is very quiet. There's a rumour about Orkashvili as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So,
he's got other issues. He's got other issues. He gets injured a lot. He's got disciplinary issues as well. He's not as good defending. And... But he's an amazing player. He's, like, quality-wise, fucking amazing. I wouldn't, you know...
Trust him.
For Eric Aspume. Eric.
Yeah. Well, of course not.
But still, right.
Tell me something. Okay, so we've ascertained that attacking midfield, or the number 8 role, is a necessity. The right-back role is a necessity.
I said no for the right back.
You say no, yeah?
Yeah, I said because if you want a right back with the characteristics of Harris, then keep Harris. Because you got Hubert-Chan, you got Harris, you got Gusulo who can play the position, you got Seu, and in Berg's mind, I think he's got that position covered both quantity and quality.
But if Harris was in the long term plans, he'd have signed a new contract by now and he'd be playing. Yeah. So he's probably going. He's probably going to AEK or somewhere like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but why didn't they let him go? That's my question. Let him go and get, like, you know, Harris's position and bring in some new blood that's going to help you, man.
But when you say let him go, you mean what? Free him of his contract?
Yeah, I mean, okay, why will I pay him till the end of the season if I'm not going to use him?
Okay, I will take that and I will throw it back at you. If they want to release him from his contract, they need to pay him out until the rest of the season. So they're probably thinking, well, his contract's going to be up. What's the point in paying him up now? Because we're still going to have to pay him anyway. So keep him in the squad just in case. I think that's what the plan is. If there's a serious injury to someone at right back, he can come in. That's the only thing I can think of. Because put it this way, I don't know about you, but I've never seen him have an argument with Henning Berg on the touchline. I know I've seen Henning Berg shouting at players, but not to the extent where you're thinking, there's a problem between the two. Yeah. You know. So where has all of this come from? Where has it come from? Because I've asked a couple of players myself, what's going on, and then even they're like, don't know.
I ain't got a clue, man. I don't know. That's what, you know, bothers me, because he seemed professional. You know, I heard like rumors like they offered him a new contract and he said no. He asked for more money or whatever. Then they said, you know what, the beginning of the season, Hubert-Chan was really good. And then we signed Seu and he was good. And we gave him some chances at the beginning of the season, but... Okay, it's been... When was When was his last game?
Granada away?
Was it with Granada? I don't even remember if he played against Granada. Maybe
away. I think it was away at Granada.
But it's been how long? How long was that? Like 3 months?
Got his minutes, yes.
So, you know, you're going at the end of the season and you're going to need as many players as you can and as much help as you can. And you could have been, you know, straight up, go up to Harris and tell him, you know what, man, either looks of it, you know, you ain't going to be playing any football with the first team for the rest of the season. If you got any more offers, you know, from any other teams, we're willing to discuss. You can go there. Thank you very much for what you did. Good luck at the rest of your career. Let him go, get some more minutes, and then we can bring in a player. If he had the opportunity and he said, no, I'm just going to sit here for 6 months and get paid, then that's a whole different story. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Well, I'll tell you what, though. There's a player who's available at the moment, at this moment in time, on a free transfer. Diego Costa.
I'll have two of those, please.
I'm looking at the players that's available on free transfers, though, all right? El Shaarawy. I think he's probably going back to Roma. Daniel Sturridge. I'd get him. Alex Teixeira, who's at Shakhtar. Pato. Remember Pato?
Yeah, from Milan.
Yeah, Hulk.
Brazilian.
Hulk, okay. Yeah. Garay, but Garay is like 34 years old. Who else have we got? Crikey. And then the rest of them, I've never heard of some of these. Oh, Subotic, but he's a
central. Can't you go like put filters from 1,000 to 200,000?
Well, asking price, there's nothing here. Market value, Edo, I'll just put it the lowest at market value.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, wonder. Here we go. Oh, crikey. I've never heard of Joe Ledley, the Welsh midfielder that had trials at Buffalo and they didn't take him. Johan Cabaye would be a good player.
Okay, I'll tell you. Sorry. Now you said Buffalo. Panchen.
Edo
Phile Mujane. Year and a half. He's 34, I think. Sign him for the rest of the season and next season as well.
Yeah, that's but
exactly I tell you, the player.
Yeah,
I want.
But long term, I'll take VAR.
VAR for me, Medashiga. Like I'd go for it. But he.
Have you heard what's happened to him?
The disciplinary things. He left, I think, without getting permission, and
no, he still hasn't come back.
I heard that there was talk about us signing him, but you know they asked for a lot of money. I remember VAR the first game we played against Buffalo.
Beginning of the season, yeah.
Away. Hey. Like Car today of Olympiago, VAR was the same. He was amazing. Skillful, technical, fast, dribbling. He did everything. But, you know, from what I heard, in Paphos, they're not happy with his professionalism, his discipline, and all these things. And this can be a liability, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but look at that club.
But Vaz plays on the wings.
He does.
Vaz plays on the wing.
He does.
Panchen plays in the number 8. He can play at a position that I want.
Yeah, true. Well, I'd have to make a few phone calls and have a. I think he enjoys Buffalo though. I think he enjoys being there. And the thing is, when you look at Buffalo, going back to Vaz, when you look at Buffalo, that club is so unstable. From top to bottom, it's so unstable. You know, they change managers. I know loads of clubs change managers in Cyprus, but they change managers. They change the backroom staff. They bring in sporting directors, and they change this and they change that. Everybody, I mean, you can't sustain any consistency when you're constantly making changes. So when this kid comes from Africa and he's got, you know, a head coach there who was doing really well under Cameron Toshak, he was doing really well under him, coached him very, very well. And then they bring in this new guy that's probably got different ideas, wants to play a certain system. He's getting pissed off. They probably don't get on. He fucks off. He's probably thinking, well, what am I doing at this club? Because Omonia want me. They're interested. At least if he came to Omonia, he wouldn't fuck about like this. The players wouldn't allow him to fuck about like this. They wouldn't.
Maybe that's
they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. They wouldn't allow him to fuck about like this. And he'd learn. But he's still young as well. What's up, Ronnie?
22, I think. I think he's 22.
Edo. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential. But, yeah, look, I agree. I think Punchin would be a good signing. But again, it's like, well, do you think it's going to happen, though? Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think we're going to sign someone? Can you see it happening?
I don't know. Another position that we didn't, like, even touch is the goalkeeper. Because obviously we got the best keeper in the island by far.
Mm-hmm.
And then your reserve keeper is... And Panayi hasn't played football in almost 2 years. He had like injuries, and it would have been very unfair for him as well to come in at a stage like, God forbid, something happens to Fabiano and he's out for like, I don't know, a month. You want to look around. I mean, I wish Panayi's career would have been different, but the truth is that, you know, he had like 3 appearances in 2 years. So when, you know, when you go into the playoffs, are you going to trust him or are you going to, you're going to need another keeper?
Yeah, but Giragidis is back in training now.
Is he?
He's back in training, yeah.
When he got injured, I think he was going to be out for like three months or so.
No, he's back in training. There's photographs of him training, like warming up. So yeah,
that might take another month till he's back in full fitness. Cause I don't know, man. But anyway, but even Giriagidis, man, Giriagidis is you need a keeper that's got to be experienced, I think.
Yeah, I know, but put it this way, with goalkeepers, they can play till they're 40, 41.
Yeah,
and he's still young. So the fact is he happy to sit on the bench to be number two, or is he going to turn around one day and say, look, I'm in the national team now. Yeah. I'm going for the number one spot with the Abolon goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So I need to play games.
Yeah.
I need to play games. Otherwise, I'm going to... And let's be honest, the games that I've seen him play, yeah, I think he's done well. All right, he's still young. There's still some mistakes that he makes. Like instead of catching the ball, he likes to punch the ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's the continent for you. That's what you guys do. Yeah. But I think he needs time. I think we've got a good goalkeeper. But at the same time, as I've said on numerous occasions, it wouldn't surprise me if a team comes in for Fabiano in the summer. He's just been that good for this season. So it's all ifs, buts and maybes. And I think if we'd have won today, we'd have been talking about something completely different. We might be saying, yeah, you know, we need a player in this position, we need a player in that position. But I think because we didn't get the results today, everything is just like, vale, you know? But the positive sense that we didn't lose, we're 11 games unbeaten, we're top of the league for now. I think the only concern for me at this moment in time, as I was about to touch on, is that we don't have any strikers in the top 10 of the goal scoring charts. I saw it today, I was like, fucking hell, we've got no one there.
Refi, even if we had all the goals, all our strikers have scored, we're not going to be on the top.
Yeah.
Duris got 2, Kagouli's got 1, Sene had 1 and he's gone. And, you know, Asante is not a striker by any means. He's not a striker.
No.
He just played the position for 3-4 games because, you know, what happened with Duris, you know, with the coronavirus and all of that. So,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well... I mean, Sadiq has got more goals than...
There, eh? Okay.
Oh, crikey. Embras, it is what it is. It is what it is, Filemo. Well, look, shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, man.
And Daxi, well, look, before we do that,
yeah.
Are you still confident about the rest of the season, the next 4 games? I mean, these are winnable games, let's be honest. You know, and I think it's good that we've got Aboel on the final game, because we need that final game to for the players to be up for it, so they can at least gain some momentum.
Listen, of course, I'm still confident, you know, and like Jordi said, just because we didn't win a game, it doesn't mean we're bad, and it doesn't mean we're the best if we win a game. We have to be a bit more balanced. These, like we said, these things happen. A few weeks ago, we were almost 10 points from first position. Like, how much was it? 7, 8, 9 points, I think. And look at where we are now. So all the teams are going to miss points. all of the teams have weak spots, and so do we. They have weaknesses. We have weaknesses. We have bad days. Sometimes we get ugly wins. But, you know, this is the season. There's four teams there, and they're going to be contenders till the end of the race. So, obviously, I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but it's also statistically a very big possibility that we're going to win it. Not because, you know, we're going to be lucky, but because we've proved to this point that, you know, we deserve to be there. We deserve to be on, you know, contending with the rest of the teams. And like I said last time, it's mostly up to us. I think this is what I think. So in that sense, I am positive that we can win it, because it's entirely up to us. If we win the games we have, or lose less points to the contenders, then we're going to win it. And we've proved that derbies, or against the other top five teams, that we don't lose easily against them. So it was really important for us to go with 3-4 point difference into the playoffs and take advantage of the games that come up, because the others are going to be playing against them. So this is what, you know, on the one hand, we're saying, you know, we were lucky that AL didn't win today. But on the flip side, you said, you know, AL didn't win today. What if we had won, you know?
Yeah, true.
What it is, we got the point. We have to keep looking forward. You know, we have to think of the next game, isolate every game, concentrate on the next one. And then, you know, every game is going to be different. And step by step, hopefully at the end of the season, we're going to celebrate
I'm trying to stay positive, and you know, there's a lot of people that have been messaging me again, you know, with their own opinions. And listen, people are entitled to their own opinions, and I've got no problem with people telling me that they're not happy with the system, they're not happy with the style of play, that they have concerns, because as football fans, this is what we do. This is what we do. And it's just the nature of the beast, as they say. And I've had people like, I just quickly should mention some names, Valentino was telling me, you know, the idea, we didn't have the ideas, the flow of football was good, but, you know, in the final third, we were wasteful. Dundies was telling me, you know, we shouldn't throw away games like this. And I agree, these are games that we should be winning given the opponents, but we can't take these things for granted. And in all fairness, we deserve to be where we are. The table doesn't lie.
Yeah. Okay.
And our home form is great. The away form is great. If you look at the form table, away and home, we're top two.
Yeah.
So that's our level. So it's, as you quite rightly said, it's for us to throw away. And if we don't win the title, we have ourselves to blame, because we've thrown away games throughout the season. You know, thrown them away because for whatever reason. You know, I'm just hoping. Obviously, I'm hoping that we win the title. Don't get me wrong. But if we don't win the title, let's end up in the top three, right? Get a chance to compete for a European place and build from that. Because once we get into that stage where we can fight for qualifying into Europe, that's when we can attract the names. We have the money.
Yeah,
there's no two ways about it. And again, I'm deviating off subject now, but do you know much about this new stadium? Because a few months ago, I heard that they were looking for a plot of land. You go better.
There's been talk about that for ages. I mean, I'm 41 and I've been listening to this story since I was like 20. So I don't know with Baba Stavro if it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I think when I'm about 60, it might happen.
Oh, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. And back to you. Well, look, let's finish it on that, Philemon. It's been great talking to you again. It's been twice in 2 days. Eh? What's going on?
There it.
Wow.
I see you more than my wife and my...
Don't say that too loud. Crikey.
Okay, Ed. Cut it when you edit the video.
No problem, Philemon. Well, look, listen, we've got some... We've had some great comments, man. We've had so many people interacting with us, leaving messages, and... I like to thank you for your input because it's been absolutely fantastic. And I was talking to Grigoris last night on Instagram because he wanted to call me and we had a cool vent there. And he goes, "How long have you known Roy?" I'm like, "What? I've known Roy for a couple of months." He goes, "Man, I thought you knew him for years." I'm like, "No, literally, like we've literally just started doing this together. It's not something that we've been planning for years." And he goes, "Man, I thought you guys, it's almost as if you guys have known each other for a long time." And I think that's because, you know, we have this common ground, but I think because of our age as well, that we've seen a lot in football and a lot in life, that we can kind of take a step back and say, right, let's be a bit more objective and a bit more logical, and let's not let our emotions get to us.
Another thing I think is I went to a private school here in Cyprus, so I had a lot of friends from, you know, English Cypriot friends, Americans, Canadians, from all over the world. And you reminded me a bit of my friends. So there's something about you, like,
oh, thank you.
It's not it, Philip. It's as if I knew you from school. Like, you're like, even though I'm just getting to know you, and it's funny because a lot of people are like, "Hey, μα πού το ρίξες το στέρε, μα είσαστε στο σχολείο μαζί, or were you know when you were studying in England or this?" And I'm like, "No, re. Actually, we started doing this a couple of weeks ago." "How did you meet him?" "I was just writing comments underneath his videos. And then, you know, the comments became conversations on the phone. And then it's like one day, you know, do you want to do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why not, mate?" Okay. So here's a story for the followers.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Well, look, if anyone wants to jump on, I mean this with the most sincere manner, if anyone wants to jump on the podcast with us, you know, DM us. We're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Shaystel. You're at Roy Hindi once. Yeah, I remember your Instagram at as well. Drop us a message. Leave a comment in the box at the bottom. Hit that like button. Subscribe if you want to get on board. Like I said, let us know, and we'll do this together. We'll get as many people as we possibly can. We could do like a Monia road show, but obviously through Zoom. You know. But yeah. So that's it, Philip Moore. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Bameshilakam.
There you go. Hit that like button. Crush that like button. Subscribe. Leave a message. Everything.
Show some love. Show some love and show us some love.
That's it. Show us lots of love, please. There you go. That was No Choftes on the OLB.
Bye-bye, guys.